B-Pod Studios.
They work.
Arr, matey.
Well, you're at work.
Scott Zolak.
I think it's a disaster.
Mark Bertrand.
I know. I want to get it out.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hail! Hail to the king of the Chiefs kingdom forever. Because today, the team that Lamar Hunt founded has just won Lamar Hunt's trophy. Kansas City is the AFC champion. They are headed to Miami for Super Bowl 54.
Feel super, baby! The five-time Super Bowl champions are going back to Miami.
Let's get
where they have won two Super Bowls, and they're looking for number six.
Yes, Jimmy Garoppolo leading the Patriots back to a Super Bowl. Oh, wait, no, that's not what happened.
Wait, what?
That's not what happened, Ted. My mistake. I wasn't paying very close attention yesterday. Jimmy Garoppolo leading the Niners to the Super Bowl against the Kansas City Chiefs. We'll be talking about that all afternoon. Myself, Adam Jones, alongside Ted Johnson. Joe Murray here as well. What's up, Ted?
What's up, buddy? How you doing? Good to be working with you today.
Yeah, you think? I mean, you say that now. You say that now. The show's just barely started, though.
I know, though. We've done a show once before, and so it was the Monday after last year's Super Bowl, and so I know how it went last time. I'm anticipating it going, hopefully, I think, as well as it did last time, so I'm looking forward to it, buddy.
I think that one went pretty good.
It did.
It wasn't a lot to dump on the day after the Patriots won the Super Bowl. There's a little bit more to get to here today. That would be including Tom Brady visiting with Mark Davis.
How about that?
Out on the West Coast?
Yeah, I heard it was like a full, 20-25 minute face-to-face conversation that you had.
Oh, you got some inside info on this.
I heard somebody talking about this morning who got some inside information on how that went down, and that it was like at least a 20-25 minute face-to-face combo. Not just a photo op, that there was an actual
conversation that happened
between Tom Brady and Mark
Davis. See, that's significant, because I'll say hi to anybody, but I'm not talking to anybody for 20, 25,
exactly.
30 minutes.
Exactly.
Unless I have to.
Right.
So, interesting.
Exactly.
All right, so we'll get into that coming up. I do want to start with the games yesterday. We have San Francisco and Kansas City, not the Patriots, in the Super Bowl here coming up 2 weeks from now in Miami. How do you feel about the matchups yesterday? How do you feel about the matchup 2 weeks from today?
Love it, love it, love it. Like, to me, this was the best matchup you could possibly get going in. It was the two best remaining teams of the four. I mean, Green Bay, frauds. I mean, that defense, although it played better than it has this year in previous years, it's still the Green Bay Packers defense at the end of the day. Aaron Rodgers still made some Aaron Rodgers plays in this game. And so, to me, I mean, the 49ers, they have the better defense. They have the best running game. And then you got a quarterback that won't screw it up in Jimmy Garoppolo. And so, to me, that was the best team coming out of the NFC, Adam. And in the AFC, let's face it, even though the Chiefs kind of had their ups and downs this year, they clearly, to me, were the best team in the AFC. Not named the Ravens, so they deserve to be there as well. So to me, it's going to be, I think, a compelling game. A little bit of a contrast in styles, maybe.
Sure.
As far as how they put up points, but I think it has the chance of being a very compelling. I mean, what is it? The spread's like a 1.5 right now. So I mean, to me, that's what you want in the Super Bowl. You want at least these last two championship games. Well, 7 points was the spread in both games, 7.5 in each game. So I liked it. I think these two teams are the best remaining teams in the NFL that are playing for it all.
Well, you said a contrast in style. Jimmy Garoppolo threw 8 times yesterday. 8 times. He threw 6 passes in the first half. He completed 6 all game, 77 yards. I mean, he won again. But you're right, a contrast in styles. A guy who threw 50 touchdowns a year ago in Patrick Mahomes, a guy who will stand back, sling it. I mean, maybe the biggest play, certainly the biggest play he made yesterday was a rushing touchdown, but a guy known for airing it out in Andy Reid's offense, which is known for airing it out, against Jimmy Garoppolo, who's just a handoff machine, apparently. Like, that's all he is, which, Patriots fans, I know you love him. I know you love him. But what he's done to this point, you know, statistically, his year was like Kirk Cousins, it was like Derek Carr. I mean, that's the kind of year he had statistically. Good year, great year statistically. And his team was better than both of those teams. But he handed off in these playoffs like he was Ryan Tannehill handing off to Derrick Henry yesterday. I mean, that's what he's done all postseason long. 19 attempts in the first game. I think it was like 8 in the second half, their win last week. Yesterday, 8 attempts. Terry Bradshaw was on after the game like, oh, I remember back in the 70s when I threw it 11 times. That was 50 years ago. That was 50 years ago, Ted. This was like going back half a century and watching a team play football. Not back to the early 2000s, handing off to Antoine Smith.
You're right.
50 years is what that was yesterday. So I don't know. I don't know where to put Garoppolo based on the two performances he's had. He's winning, but it's not really anything he's doing. It's everybody else around him.
I remember in the telecast last night, they said something. It's been an hour and a half, 90 minutes of real time since Jimmy Garoppolo has thrown a pass in this
game. He did not throw a pass. He didn't attempt a pass in the third quarter.
That's crazy.
Just the whole third quarter, he didn't throw a pass.
So it was almost as if Kyle Shanahan, in the first half of the division round, after Garoppolo throws an interception, like, you know what? I don't trust him anymore. I don't trust him anymore. He throws an interception in the first half. It was against the Vikings. And he's like, you know what? Let's just start running the ball. And so the whole second half of game, you know, the division game, they were running the ball. And then they were running the ball mostly in this game. And you're like, does Kyle Shanahan lose confidence in Jimmy Garoppolo? But when he was asked to throw, I mean, he made the plays when he was asked to throw.
Did he? So,
well, you're right. I mean, Deebo Samuel made the plays. He
threw at the line of scrimmage, and then Deebo ran for a bunch of yards.
So it's very, very difficult to really, really kind of have any real strong takeaways about what Jimmy Garoppolo is capable of, you know, in big games, because really the head coach decided not to put any really of the onus on him or put any of it on his back. And so, you know, it is a little bit surprising when he's getting paid $27 million a year to not want to, you know, maybe highlight your quarterback. So, I would love to see a game in which the 49ers got to throw it 30-plus times.
Okay, well, now we have it. And this is what I was just going to say. And we'll get to all your thoughts on this. We're going to revisit the Jimmy Garoppolo trade. We're going to get to your thoughts on Garoppolo, his performance yesterday, and what you think he's capable of in this Super Bowl matchup against the Chiefs. 617-779-0985, because I do think, for all of the belly aching that I'll do about Jimmy Garoppolo, or dumping on Jimmy Garoppolo for the two performances that he's had, where he threw as many passes in the third quarter yesterday as you and me and Joe threw in that third quarter yesterday. Nothing. He didn't throw from like the 2-minute warning in the second quarter until midway through the fourth quarter. Didn't attempt a pass. So for all the dumping that I'll do on him, I do think that 2 weeks from now in Miami, doesn't he have to throw? Like, we just watched yesterday with Tennessee. Similar game plan. They took the air out of the football. Tannehill's going to hand off to Derrick Henry, like Garoppolo is going to be handing off to Mostert or whomever else in the Niners' backfield. Yesterday it was Mostert, who was awesome. They're going to have to throw to keep up with Kansas City. So we'll get our answer. The beautiful thing about this Super Bowl, it's not Niners and Titans, where we would get two quarterbacks handing off to their running game over and over and over again, and we wouldn't find anything out about Jimmy Garoppolo. 2 weeks from now, Miami, I think we'll get our answer. We've argued about it all year. We've been arguing about it for years and years with Jimmy Garoppolo. What is he? Is he an elite quarterback? My answer is no. Is he a good quarterback? Is he a starting quarterback? What is he? And I think in 2 weeks, we'll get our answer. If he's slinging the football and beats Kansas City and wins a Super Bowl, then you have to give it up to the guy. If they can't keep up with Kansas City, he wants to hand off, and you know he won two games by taking the air out of the football, then I think the question remains open. I do.
Yeah, I agree. I see, as good as this defense is playing for the 49ers, I do see the Chiefs putting up points on this team, so I'm with you. I do think that you're going to have to throw the rock if you're the San Francisco 49ers to keep up with the Chiefs. I just feel like Kansas City is going to be able to get some things done on that San Francisco defense, so I'm with you on that. I will say this about knowing that offense. That is one of the most advanced run schemes that you will find in the NFL. It's on the level, if not more advanced than even what the Baltimore Ravens do. I mean, the fact they don't run their quarterback and design run plays like the Baltimore Ravens do, every other aspect of that running game is highly advanced the 49ers have. That is a simple offense for a quarterback. Okay, that was that system.
Oh, the offense Shanahan, where you throw 8 times. Yeah, no, I have a good grasp on that offense.
It is not an advanced offense. So it's one of those things. It's like the average quarterback can play good. The good quarterback can play great in that offense because it's really set up by the play action and by the deception and by all the movement to get you going one way and then going another way. So if Jimmy Garoppolo can't succeed in this offense, then he can't succeed in any offense, because it is truly one of the most basic offenses. They take out a lot of audibles, a lot of checks. There's not a lot of thinking that is involved in that offense. So if you can't excel in a Kyle Shanahan offense as a quarterback, then chances are you can't excel in any offense.
Let me ask you this, Ted, because you were there, you know, not to always harken back on your days as a Patriot, but you were there in 2001. There were a lot of questions about Brady as a game manager, right? So to play devil's advocate, I don't believe in Garoppolo as a guy who you can ask to throw, you know, 25, 30, 35 times and win a football game. I know he did it against New Orleans earlier this year. Let's see it when the stakes are raised. Let's see it. I don't believe he can do that. There were a lot of people asking that, though, about Tom Brady at the time. Like, to play devil's advocate, is it fair for a bunch of us, you know, who believed in Brady then, to be dumping on Garoppolo now for throwing 8 passes in a game?
Probably not, because you just until we have to see him put it on his shoulders, where it's like the score, the game dictates that. All right, now it's Jimmy's got to drop back, you know, 30 times, and he's gonna. Then I think we have to maybe it's maybe not fair to completely dump on him, because you just don't know, because the games haven't dictated that he has to put it all on his shoulders, right? I understand why there is hesitation too. I mean, I really do. I've seen games where Jimmy Garoppolo, I mean, makes bad decisions or he's just not dialed in early, and he looks mental at times where it's just like, holy, like the guy can't find his confidence. So there are games in which I've seen this year where I could see where people would question whether this kid's really going to be, you know, the real deal based on just his confidence being shaken early in games. And so, but when you're not asked to do as much, but when you're asked to just do, you know, just make sure you don't screw the whole thing up, and he doesn't screw the whole thing up, then I think, hey, he's still early in his career, at least as being a starter and being the guy in San Francisco. I know he's been around for, what, 6, 7 years?
It's not that early. He's 28.
Yeah, you're right. But as far as being a full-time
starter. Like, Luke Kuechly's 29 and just retired. Right. Garoppolo's not that young.
Right. I get it. I'd have to see more. I think it's still an unfinished kind of thing for me to declare exactly what is and what isn't Jimmy Garoppolo at this point.
617-779-0985. You watched the games yesterday. What do you think about this Super Bowl matchup? Can Jimmy Garoppolo keep up on the scoreboard with a team like Kansas City? And does it matter? We all champion Tom Brady as a guy who did what he needed to do, you know, was asked to do, manage the game. So is it consistent to jump on Garoppolo here? 617-779-0985. I want to revisit the Patriots parting with Jimmy Garoppolo, trading him away to San Francisco way back in, 2017. So we'll revisit that and any issues we have with that trade. Sitting here today, the Monday after the AFC and NFC title games that somehow did not involve the New England Patriots. We'll do that coming up next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Joe and Beetle in the office.
It's like a sweater without nipple covers.
In the car.
You smell bacon?
In the truck.
I'm definitely not stupid, Harvey.
Getting you through your work day on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Starting back with the ACL and everything, since then it's been crazy. It's been a crazy whirlwind of a ride, and no one else I'd rather be in a dogfight with than those guys in that locker room. It's a great group to be with. Everyone's pulling together. Everyone's you know, tight with one another, and it's just a great group, man. It really is.
When was this song written? I'm going to guess it was about 70s. The last time. Yeah, it has to be, right? I'm going to guess it was about the last time a quarterback averaged 8 passes or threw 8 passes in a championship game.
40 years ago.
Yeah. That sounds about
50
right.
50 years ago.
That's very fitting.
Very fitting.
This thing was top of the charts, I'd imagine, Ted, back when you threw 8 passes a game.
Yep.
Back when, you know, Jimmy Garoppolo fit into the NFL.
Wow. Released in 1967.
Okay.
All right, well, maybe it was a little further before that, then. I don't want to overstate it too much. Adam Jones, Ted Johnson, in for Zoe and Beetle, taking you up until 2 o'clock here on a Monday with all your phone calls, 617-779-0985. So, Ted, you know, we have to do it. We have to do it. Jimmy Garoppolo's in the Super Bowl. We have to look back at the trade where Bill Belichick either decided to or was, you know, strong-armed into trading away Jimmy Garoppolo. Patriots weren't going to franchise him after the season. Trade deadline's approaching. Look, we're not going to move on from Tom Brady, so do what needs to be done. Bill Belichick either understood he was running out of time, was out of time, or again, was encouraged to do this, depending on what you believe, and dealt Jimmy Garoppolo to Kyle Shanahan, son of his buddy, who we all know, Bill likes to take care of the kids of his friends, doesn't he?
It's like never been more evident than it is these days, it seems like, right?
Right.
Mick Lombardi's there now. You're right.
Lombardi's kid's there. I mean, hey, he's got Ference's kid on the team, or at least he used to. He's had another Ference child coaching on the team. Yeah. Yes, he's got his own kids on the team, for God's sake, so sure. So look, maybe the best thing to be outside of Bill Belichick is a buddy of Bill Belichick,
or the
kid of a buddy of Bill Belichick. Right. You'll be set for life. So he trades him Jimmy Garoppolo for a second-round pick. What, if anything, looking back on it, Ted, do you have an issue with that trade?
I don't really have an issue with that trade, other than the only thing I would have said maybe is that if you knew it was a foregone conclusion and that you were going to be trading Jimmy Garoppolo before the season, that you maybe would have traded him before the season and got what easily could have been a first round draft pick. I just think the market would have dictated that the Patriots could have gotten a first round. So I thought, you know, what was in the best interest of the team. And don't tell me, were you really trying to see how the 2017 season started with Tom, to just to see how Tom approached things or how he was playing before you needed to see how it was going to look before you decided, let's hold off, wait 8 games to see how Tom looks before we really decide on what we want to do with Jimmy Garoppolo. I just find that hard to believe. I just think you knew what you already had with Tom going into the season, that you could have gotten more. I thought it was a little bit irresponsible of Bill to wait until middle of the season to trade a guy. I just remember going in. I could not believe, Adam, that they weren't trading him in the offseason. Did you were going to wait? I couldn't believe it. And so to me,
isn't it weird that you'd wait till halfway through the year and then get to the midpoint of the year and be like, okay, now we're going to get rid of the security blanket?
Yeah.
Like, if you're going to get that far, and I understand they would have had to carve out cap space to franchise and then trade Garoppolo, which is what they did with Matt Castle way back when in 2008 after the 2008 season. They've done that before. I understand there was some cap gymnastics they would have had to hurdle their way through, but they could have done that. I think it's weird when they traded him as well. I agree with that. And I think the return, it's inarguable. The return was a joke. I don't even like Garoppolo all that much, but if you could get more than a second-round pick for somebody, you should have gotten more than a second-round pick. Who cares where he ends up? Unless you were strong-armed into dealing him and never wanted to trade him in the first place, and you're worried about how he looks and how he's going to play somewhere else, and then you want to put him in the best position possible with your kid's buddy, or your buddy's kid, excuse me, out in San Francisco, unless you care about stuff like that. But it's inarguable what Bill did, and why he did it we can debate till the cows come home. But it's inarguable what Bill did wasn't best for the football team. A second-round pick for a guy who had a market, whether you liked him or not, he had a market. You know, I don't think Mohamed Sanu was worth a second-round pick, for God's sakes, but the market dictated it, so the Falcons took it. It shouldn't have been a second-round pick, but they took it. I don't think Garoppolo should have gone for a first-round pick, but there was a market there for it. You could have had it. Maybe multiple first-rounders. So not doing that was irresponsible. That definitely wasn't what was best for the football
team. I agree. I think there would have been a team out there, Adam, that would have given maybe the Patriots 2 first-rounders, or at least a first and a third. Something like just
multiple picks at least.
Multiple picks? I really do. I just think that there was – it's funny. I mean, we've
and
seen –
the way the Patriots draft, all those picks. You're gonna need all those picks. Get yourself, another Jovan Williams to sit the bench.
That's true. Do you remember, though, go back to that season, do you remember how the San Francisco 49ers kind of played it that year with Jimmy Garoppolo when they did trade for him? They let him sit for a few games.
Yep. Yeah.
Did you remember how he played when he finally did get some action?
Yeah, he beat up on a bunch of crappy teams, except the Jaguars that year. Okay. He beat the Jaguars, who went to the AFC title game.
He lit teams up.
Yep.
I get what you're saying. There were all
a bunch of bad teams.
A lot of cupcakes. But I'm just at the end, and I think they won their last 5 games, and he was lighting teams up. And then the injury comes, and then if Jimmy Garoppolo could play like he did those last 5 weeks of that 2017 season, then maybe that's what got him $27 million a year, was those 5 games the year he was traded to the 49ers when they waited to play him. Again, it was against cupcakes. I get it. But still, he was brilliant in those games. And that's the best I've ever seen him play, was in those five games.
Even better than that half against Miami, or half and another half a quarter against Miami? Because that Miami game in New England, to me, was awesome when Garoppolo played. I think the Arizona opener that he played in was a little overrated. That Miami game was awesome, though.
Yeah, no, that was he played great in that game. But it was a consistent game after game after game after game after
yeah,
game.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Where
a stretch.
Was,
that was the best
was a
stretch.
Stretch yeah, yeah, yeah. of games. It was, to me, far and away, the best stretch of games he's had in his career.
If you were going to revisit anything about that trade, Joe, what's your beef with it? What's your issue?
Well, I mean, I still don't think the return was good enough. And we know some people have come back and the trade's still going because Belichick has traded so many pieces. So we know Damian Harris is still out there and some other guys.
Oh, yeah, Joan Williams and Damian Harris. Okay. Wow, what a return.
Hey, well, let's let it play out. Let's let it see where it goes, because he might keep trading and see where it ends up. My whole thing is this. I believe that Bill Belichick can identify the next quarterback. Whether I know Jones, you might not think he's a superstar, but I do think he's a quarterback who can play in this league and can make plays.
Yep.
And he's a guy who got a big salary, and I think that Bill Belichick can identify the next quarterback. So whether it was Jimmy Garoppolo, Jacoby Brissett, who's playing in this league, whether it's Stidham or somebody else, the one big takeaway for me is they can identify the next guy.
So I agree with that. I actually completely agree with that. And I'll ask this to the people of Boston, 617-779-0985. We'll get to your phone calls. To this point, who's won the Jimmy Garoppolo trade? Right? To this point, it's the Patriots.
It's the Super Bowl.
The Patriots have been to two additional Super Bowls. They won a Super Bowl. Brady won another MVP. I've said for years, Ted, what I wanted the Patriots to do, I had no problem with them trading Garoppolo. I didn't like the return. That's my big gripe. I had zero problem trading Garoppolo. I wanted them to trade Garoppolo. But when Brady's done, you got to go out and find the next guy. And the next guy's not going to be Brady. Like, people are like, oh, can they find the next Tom Brady? No, you're not going to find the next Tom Brady. That's not happening. But can you find someone better than Garoppolo? That's now the trick. You need to find someone better than Garoppolo to win that trade. And I don't think that's...
That hard?
I don't think that's that hard. I don't. I don't know if it's Stidham. Stidham may not be that guy. Yeah. But maybe there's a guy this year at the end of the first round. Hell, maybe there's a guy in the second, third, fourth round. They've found guys in all those rounds, depending on how much you like, you know, Jacoby Brissett, depending on how much you like Jimmy Garoppolo. They've found guys in the middle of the draft. They've found guys after the draft. And I didn't love Brian Hoyer, but he's still collecting checks in the NFL, a guy that went undrafted.
You think Brian Hoyer could have won that game for the San Francisco 49ers?
That one yesterday? Yes. That one. I could have won that one yesterday, Ted. I know I could have not fumbled in the third quarter. That's all you had to do.
Right,
all you had to do was not fumble and hand the ball off. You didn't even have to attempt a pass.
I just wanted to bring this up. Kyle Shanahan has been known to be aggressive in playoff games before. Clock management happened in the Super Bowl. We saw it. I think he really wanted to win that game yesterday and was not going to let Jimmy Garoppolo ruin it. And we saw a week ago he made a bad pass to the Vikings.
No, Ted said he thinks he was scared of
exactly. Yeah. And that's not on Garoppolo. That's on Shanahan.
It's kind of on Garoppolo. No, Shanahan didn't throw the pick.
Listen, if Green Bay would have stopped somebody, like if they stopped them, they made throws. There was a Kittle throw late in the game there that he had a first down on to get him into field goal range. I mean, hey, he threw one pass, I think, in the fourth quarter. It was a first down, and it was to move the football.
Yeah.
So all I'm saying is this is that I think it was more about Shanahan than it was about Garoppolo. I'll just bring up one quarterback maybe that we can lean on. You brought up Brady in the Super Bowl. I think Ben Roethlisberger's run as a rookie or first year player with Jerome Bettis, like, he just handed the ball off all day. He ended up developing into a good quarterback in this league. So that's my example of maybe what Garoppolo.
Yeah,
was.
You might want to check Roethlisberger's age though, because Garoppolo's 28. Garoppolo's 28. He's almost to the age where guys are retiring in the NFL these days. Let's get to your phone call. 617-779-0985. Let's go up to the great state of Vermont. Joe is in Vermont. Go ahead, Joe.
Waiting for your text or your tweet yesterday that the Bruins are 0-1 when getting two goals in under 5 minutes.
Yes, yeah, but nice performance I thought by the Bruins yesterday, including Joe's guy over there, Charlie McAvoy.
Yeah, it was, I wish McAvoy would learn how to shoot. But anyway, hey, my question is actually for Ted, because I figure you probably know Mike Vrabel a little better than your average Joe. I kind of felt like he went away from the run a little too early. Like, while watching the game, I thought maybe Vrabel was thinking, they think we're going to give it to Henry. Let's pass because they're not waiting for it, and we can get away with a quick slant or a quick pass to the outside or whatever. And I just feel like they lost the game because they went away from the run too early. I'm going to hang up. I'd love to hear your insight on that, Ted.
You know, it's interesting. There was a time where, I mean, I think the first you know, 6 or 7 first down opportunities they had, they ran the football and with a lot of success. And then it was kind of in the second half, it was like play action on first down and, you know, incomplete. I'm like, dude, you know what? You know how you've beaten the last three teams you've played, the Texans, the Patriots, and the Ravens, is you never wavered from your game plan.
Yeah, remember that two minute drive before the half against the Pats? They just ran down the field against
it. He was like, I'm going to run, be damned. You know it's coming. Load the box. Bring a safety down. It doesn't matter. You can't stop us. And it was like, all of a sudden, it was the first time in a month that he decided, all right, I'm going to change a little bit of what I do in the second half. And that's part of what can happen when you're playing the Kansas City Chiefs, I think. You start to panic. And I think the caller's right to some degree. Mike panicked me for the first time in a while. Because you saw, okay, if you're even or down by a score to the Chiefs, it feels like you're down by 14 points. And so I felt like he did get away from the run a little bit, you know, considering how successful he was. It was like, Derrick Henry, we know you're running it. We still can't stop you. And I think there was a little bit of panic in the second half, and he got away from the run a little bit.
All right. Will Shanahan panic? Can Garoppolo keep up on the scoreboard? We'll be looking ahead to Super Bowl 54 2 weeks from now in Miami, plus all your phone calls, 617-779-0985. We talked a lot about Garoppolo and the Niners. Let's focus in on the other team. What would a Chiefs win mean for the Patriots in the AFC? We'll get to that after Joe Murray and his headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
First, our introduction.
Zolak. Bertrand.
Double whammy.
Zolak and Bertrand. Continues 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Kelce again, split to the right. Williams shades that same way. Three-man rush again by Tennessee. Mahomes moving to his left laterally, chased, holding it, and gets out of bounds and up the sideline. He's not out of bounds yet. He's at the 10, inside the 10. He dives for the end zone. Touchdown, Kansas City. A remarkable acrobatic scramble on a 27-yard run. Maybe the best play yet of Patrick Mahomes' incredible young career.
There'll be peace when you are done. Lay your weary head to rest. Don't you cry no more.
10:39 here on the Sports Hub. Adam Jones, Ted Johnson in for Zoe and Beadle. We're here till 2 o'clock on a Monday with all your phone calls. 617-779-0985.
There was some things I just thought going on, Adam, in the stands at the 49er-Green Bay game. Real quick, before we're talking about
in the stands of the 49er-Green Bay.
I just thought that was sometimes was maybe more interesting. What was the turnover chain that Jerry Rice had on? What was did you
Is
see?
That what he was wearing? He was wearing something. I don't know if it was a turnover chain.
It looked like the, you know, the University Miami. Of Miami, yeah. Turnover chain. I thought that was a little interesting. And did you see, does Rob Lowe age? Is Rob Lowe,
no,
he still looks like he did in The Outsiders.
Yeah, no, he's
30 years ago.
Botox, I think, is a hell of a drug.
They show Rob Lowe in the stands.
Yeah.
With bodyguard.
I've aged more than Rob Lowe has aged. In the last year, I've aged much more.
That dude has not aged.
Literally, I've aged more.
In 30 years.
Yeah.
It's insane. What money can buy.
He's got a new show. A firefighter guy.
Yeah.
He's wearing the neutral NFL hat, too.
Yeah. He was neutral as could be. Neutral as can
I just
be.
Want both, I just want both teams.
I understand that, though. A lot of people are dumping on him for that. I get that. You know, you want to accentuate the cheekbones. You don't want to take away with like a big gaudy logo up there.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you want to accentuate what you're working with there. You know, see, me, I want to distract with a logo, Ted.
Yeah, right.
But a nice NFL shield, that's pretty mild. That's pretty neutral. That's pretty bland. You don't want to take away from the face. Who's handsomer, Rob Lowe or Jimmy Garoppolo? Good question by Ted Johnson. 617-779-0985. Garoppolo's in his prime. That's not all that impressive. What Rob Lowe's doing.
Yeah. I give way more credit to Rob Lowe looking
just,
as good as he does.
Google Kiara Mia.
It's not on a work computer.
Yes.
Yeah, don't do that on a work computer. Joe's already done it on a work computer. Don't do that on a work computer. With Kansas City, and that, by the way, that's Kansas, the band we came back from. Kansas City, not in Kansas. There is a Kansas City, Kansas.
There is a Kansas City, Kansas, yes.
But, yes.
Never been there.
In Missouri, of course. Much, much worse band. Your thoughts on the Chiefs and what they mean for the AFC going forward if they win the Super Bowl. Has that has that turned the AFC on its ear? We've seen other teams win over the years, and I'm sure it's been predicted in the past. You know, Peyton Manning with the Broncos, a little late in his career to get that done. But certainly teams like, Manning earlier in his career with the Indianapolis Colts, we've seen teams break through in the AFC before over the last 20 years, over the last two decades. Does that turn the AFC on its ear? Does that officially signal the end of the dynasty, the passing of the torch from Brady to somebody like Patrick Mahomes, who could win, I'm not going to say six, but could certainly win multiple Super Bowls?
Yeah, I don't see how, if you're a Pats fan, you're not really, really worried about it. I would say my answer, if you have to hold the gun to my head to give you a yes or no answer, the answer would be yes. I think this is a passing of the torch. I think what you're seeing Patrick Mahomes do is, let's face it, he was a league MVP last year. You saw him play yesterday. It was, he reminds me of a souped up, charged up Russell Wilson. He's a guy that can take over games with his legs. And that's where, I think he does it in a way that's not too much. I think it's just enough. If you're a quarterback that can kind of get, two or three first downs per game with your feet, just scrambling to advance drives, then that's a weapon. That's a real weapon.
Never mind all the moving in the pocket and everything else he does, which is exactly what Wilson does. I agree with you.
Exactly.
Wilson's not like a scrambler. He can. But the way he keeps plays alive in the pocket and gets out of pressure is amazing. And Mahomes does have a little bit of that. And like you said, a souped-up version with the arm and everything else.
Yeah, and he seems to have full command of what's going on during the game. I mean, just that two-minute drive in which, he knew he had two. He wasn't panicked. He had two timeouts. The way he managed the clock – he knew, with like less than 15 seconds, he's out there scrambling. Hey, I got two timeouts. I can still stay in bounds. I don't have to get out of bounds. And he stayed in bounds and was able to score a touchdown. He just seems to know. Look, those were, Mike was throwing a lot of different, or DMPs, the defensive coordinator for the Tennessee Titans, was throwing a lot of different coverages, disguising. He knew where to go with the hot reads. He just seems to have a very, very high football IQ. And then has a really good sense of when he does run with it, being smart when he does run with it, and being able to know when it's time to take over games, when he needs to take over games. That's a little scary. And, Andy Reid, as much as we think he is kind of can be a buffoon when it comes to clock management, and he can, he's still a very, very good coach. So, yes, if you don't think the Kansas City Chiefs are maybe the it team in the AFC, along with the Baltimore Ravens, because even though they completely peed down their leg, they're still going to be, I think, formidable going forward. To me, those are clearly the two teams in the AFC that you have to worry about. Patriots, to me, are a distant third in that.
Well, that's what's at stake. Part of what's at stake. The Ravens peed down their legs. If the Chiefs don't do that, we're looking at that as a possible passing of the torch, right? Never mind where Brady winds up.
But when you watch that offense, though, Adam, aren't you like, holy, I mean, are
the
you
Chiefs
the speed?
Yeah, of course.
Oh my, it's like talent.
I love how people last year were
everywhere.
The Patriots have the Chiefs number. You talk about peeing down your leg watching the Chiefs hyper drive offense last year. The way they were able to make up deficits against the Pats, Patriots fans should be the least surprised people on the planet watching what they've done the last 2 weeks against the Texans and yesterday against the Titans. They can make up 10, 20 points like that, like it's nothing. And Patriots fans know that. They saw it in the regular season last year. They saw it in the AFC title game last. Oh, yeah, I didn't break a sweat. Yeah, we got that number. Yeah, you're lucky you won a coin toss last year. Mahomes would have been doing this last year in the Super Bowl.
Right. And you know what? And don't look now. Has Andy Reid finally learned his lesson? What is it with these innovative, offensive-minded type coaches? What do they like to do in some of these games when they have the ability to just, milk the clock? They, Mike Martz, Kyle Shanahan.
I was going to say Shanahan did it against the Patriots.
No, I disagree with you. Yesterday, he was terrible. He was awful yesterday.
Wait, who was?
Reed.
Now, listen, I had a...
What do you mean? He started running the ball.
I had a bet, okay? Let me just tell you this.
No. I get it now.
Joe.
Okay?
And he finally figured it out.
No, he didn't, okay? There was a spread on the line there, and the guy had the worst three and out I ever saw in my life to give the ball back. They could have covered the damn spread at the end of the game there.
Okay, well, there we go. There lies the rub.
There was a three and out. He could have just ran the ball three times. Instead, he's got Mahomes fiddling around that.
I agree.
Maybe Andy, at the end of the game, but there was a...
Andy Reid should have been worried about Joe's bet. I agree.
Right, right.
Yes.
But you have to admit, there was a time there, and even Tony Romo pointed out, wait, hey Jim. I love Tony Romo and Jim Nantz. Jim's like he's reborn, isn't he? With Tony in there, but he's like, Jim, did Kansas City just run it four times in a row? Hey, can we get our stats guy on, see if they've ran it four times in a row all season long? The point is,
my favorite part was when Tony Romo was arguing with himself, waiting for a highlight the whole time, whether it was a push off or whether the defender dragged him down on the pass interference or whatever,
right,
it was on Sammy
slot.
Watkins. Hey, what do you think? Who pushed off? Huh? Who pushed off? Did he drag him down or did he push off? Hey, what do you guys think? That was my favorite Romo incident yesterday. I enjoyed that.
Just one more thing.
Yeah.
Both coaches, if you were betting yesterday, both coaches, Shanahan and Reed, had me. I have no hair, but I was ripping my beard hair out yesterday. I literally thought the Packers were going to come back and cover the damn spread. Reed was terrible. I don't care what anyone says.
I was not worried about a Packers cover there. That hook might have been a little scary.
Right.
7.5. That might have been a little scary. 617-779-0985. We can get to a former Patriot teeing off on Richard Sherman. We'll do that coming up next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Everybody, it's the moment you've been waiting for.
Hot takes.
Where you can clearly see there's a gap where the tip digs in and then boom, it pops up.
Oh, yeah. Zoe and Beetle.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Rodgers back. Pass rush holds. He's going to throw a bomb down the field for Devontae Adams in a double coverage. It is intercepted by Richard Sherman, who will go down. And the 49ers are going to win the game and win the NFC Championship game and go to the Super Bowl.
I think they were trying to pump themselves up. They were trying to hype themselves up, you know, throughout the talking about a revenge game, like they weren't coming in with an advantage into that game. You know, we were coming off of a battle with Seattle, and they were coming off a bye. And so saying payback and saying, you know, when you stay ready, you don't got to get ready. So it's not they're trying to hype themselves up like, man, we're going to be ready this time. You weren't ready the first time, and that was in front of the whole country.
I mean, Richard Sherman, that's good stuff.
Say, huh?
If you stay ready, you don't have to get ready. You weren't ready the first time, and you already embarrassed yourself in front of the whole country? Is that what he said? I hadn't heard that yet. Richard Sherman, A+ there, going at Green Bay.
He's good.
Oh, excellent.
He's good at creating this narrative. I mean, he makes Rodney Harrison, I mean, like, look silly as far as, you know, the old chip on the shoulder.
Oh, I see.
I'm talking about the chip on the shoulder guy.
I'm sorry. I didn't know where you were going with
No. I'm just talking about, like, you don't want to, who's better at having that chip on the shoulder? You know, like, is it Richard Sherman or is it Rodney Harrison?
I think it's Rodney.
I'm going to go with Rodney.
Well, Rodney's the original, but I mean, Richard seems to have taken it up a notch.
Sherman was a guy
as far as, like, presenting this case that nobody believed in us, number one seed.
I think Rodney had to bring that swagger. Sherman had to bring that swagger to the Legion of Boom. Legion of Boom. He always had those safeties protecting him, and I know you're going to get into the story here, but, like, Sherman's always been a good talker.
Well, so I am...
But a smart guy.
I am curious about this, because I do think this is a knock on Sherman. I do. Like, he was great yesterday besides the one pass where Rodgers hit Adams over the top late in the game, where I'm sure Joe was freaking out about not getting his cover yesterday. But apparently while all this was going on, and I missed it, if it was during the game or just after the game, Darrell Revis, great lockdown corner. He'd follow his guy around. He'd trail guys around like Stephon Gilmore does now, like Ty Law used to do, or at least used to beg to do, right? Did he always get to do it with you guys?
Not always, but a lot of times, yes.
So, you know, I do think that's the mark of a great corner, right?
It
not necessarily you know, what Sherman does or even what Deion used to do, and they're great corners. But I like guys who will follow around a receiver and take him away. If the offense knows where the defender's going to line up, Richard Sherman's going to be to our right, defense is left every time. I don't know. I think that's a bit of a question as to why he can't follow around top receivers. So Darrell Revis is watching yesterday.
That's a fair point.
And he tweets out, fear of getting beaten man-to-man coverage. Every snap, every play. The fact that he doesn't travel as a corner is lame, which I think is a good word for it. It is lame. Accept the challenge as the best. Accept, he said accept, which we'll get to. E-X-C-E-P-T. The challenge is the best, and shut Adams down the entire game. Do it for the game of football. Stop hiding into cover three. He then
still
continued.
Got that cover three reputation.
Mm-hmm. He continued. All y'all think I'm throwing shade. I'm not. I'm just stating the man is not a pound-for-pound, man-to-man corner. If you know the game, Ted, he plays a cover three scheme. He does not travel, but traveling with a receiver is not for every DB. It's a few on the corner list who can. Okay, and again, Sherman will reply to that. But what do you think of that criticism levied at Richard Sherman?
I think it's fair. I don't think it's. I think it's fair. I mean, look, if you are a corner who plays a lot of zone, and you play a lot of cover three, which is you have deep thirds. And you play it time and time again, and you don't travel, and you don't play man-to-man, and you're not asked to chase guys all around the field, then I think it is fair to be somewhat, a little bit more critical of that player, because there is maybe – I don't know if it's – they love the scheme, or they feel there's limitations in Richard Sherman's, abilities that they can't run as much man-to-man with him. I don't know, but the fact remains that he is more of a zone cornerback than he is a pure man-to-man like Darrell Revis was, like Stephon Gilmore was. And I love Ty, but we played a lot of cover two, where Tom or where Ty would bait guys into throwing into that the soft spot in cover two, and Ty made a lot of the plays. But Richard Sherman is not a pure man-to-man cover cornerback. And so that's not necessarily, it shouldn't be maybe a knock on him, but I can see how pure man-to-man corners in the league will knock him for that.
Well, and so Sherman chirps back. He said, I would go in on this. I have a Super Bowl to prepare for, so I'm not going to go in on this. Enjoy the view from your couch. Which Revis tweeted out a picture. It's
a nice view from his couch?
I don't know. Not really.
No, not really?
I don't think it's the nicest view, to be honest. There's a lot of empty, A lot of empty wall space next to that TV is all I'm going to say.
I would have put my camera up to a photo of the ocean, at least on my computer.
Yeah, hang something on those walls, Darrell. Jesus. But anyway, it's your ninth year, or your ninth year, rather, looked a lot different than this. I believe his ninth year, I just tried to count. I believe Revis' ninth year was his first with the Jets. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, Sherman's going back to the Super Bowl and was second team All-Pro. And then he corrected him on his grammar. It's accept, not accept.
That Stanford guy.
Thought I would give you a lesson while I was here. I'll tell you what I think is lamer than Richard Sherman not moving around the field. Why won't Aaron Rodgers test him? Why won't you throw in that direction? Like, he did it late in the game, and he hit a 50-something yarder to Devontae Adams.
Yeah.
I remember the opener. I think it was the year after Seattle won. After they won their Super Bowl, before they lost to the Patriots, and Pete Carroll failed to hand off, and Malcolm Butler made a name for himself. The opener that year, I remember because we were on the air that night, and Rodgers never threw at Richard Sherman, right? It was the NFL kickoff Thursday night opener.
Replacement refs or no?
I honestly can't remember. And I'm talking out my backside this is how I remember it. Rodgers never threw that way. And I was on the air going, what the hell? Like, this is lame. Throw at him. You're supposed to be one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. Some rate you among the greatest quarterbacks of all time, which seems kind of silly based on his first half yesterday. But I understand he's a great thrower of the football. He's a fun watch. You won't test Richard Sherman? Go ahead, it's Devontae Adams. Devontae Adams is going to make some plays on Richard Sherman, isn't he? He did when you gave him one chance. I think he threw at Sherman one time, and it was a completion for 50 yards.
Yeah.
Throw at him.
I never understand
that's lamer
that.
Than not moving around.
I couldn't agree more with you. I'm always a little bit baffled by that when you have a great wide receiver that gets no targets. Devontae Adams didn't get targeted in the first half.
Well, he got targeted not on Sherman. He got targeted a lot on other guys, I think. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Forgive me. When he was on Richard Sherman, he didn't get targeted
not
in
at
the
all.
First half. And then it was right after they said that, that's when that deep ball, and it was a great off-the-line move that Devontae Adams had on Richard Sherman, and Richard Sherman looked I'm not going to lie. He looked like me kind of trying to keep up. I mean, he was just – he didn't have the catch-up speed. He really didn't. I don't understand that. I never understand why. Loosen those corners up. Test them to see, you know, just because just reputation alone determines whether or not you're going to throw to him. You know, Stephon Gilmore.
Ryan Fitzpatrick. Ryan, I don't get this with Gilmore. Ryan Fitzpatrick wasn't Parker. Throw at him.
Throw to him. Test him.
Corey Davis and Devontae Parker can make plays on Stephon Gilmore. Yes. I think your Devontae Adams can make a play on Richard Sherman. So throw to him. Try it.
Totally agree.
Try it. Your offense sucked. Try it.
When you're running in mud and when your offense is not looking that good and you're scared to throw against Richard Sherman based on reputation, please. You know what? There's guys that just sometimes it's just not their day. Devontae Parker, it wasn't Stephon Gilmore's day that day. And he got torched. You know why? Because you weren't afraid to throw at him. Throw at him. I could not agree more, Adam, why these quarterbacks, based on reputation, going into the game, they just say, well, I'm not even going to look over there.
Not even going to try it.
Are you kidding me?
I think Revis is a better player than Sherman overall. Revis made, I think, $50 million more than Sherman, and I think there's a reason for that. Sherman has always been part of a system.
Yeah, Revis wasn't
a decent corner.
Revis wasn't his own agent.
Right.
That'll hurt you at the negotiating table. 617-779-0985. But no, I agree. If you're a lockdown guy, you're gonna get paid more. I think Sherman is probably viewed. He's great, but he's probably viewed as more of a system guy.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Well. I mean, in Darrell Revis's mind, there's a little something wrong with it. We'll get to the latest on Tom Brady. Formerly labeled a system quarterback, no longer, although maybe, you know.
It's been a long time.
The aging curve, he's getting back into that. He visited with Mark Davis at the Conor McGregor fight over the weekend. We got some thoughts on that. I think Ted Johnson has a little inside info on that, which we'll get to right after the headlines here from Joe Murray.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.